All right, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our final meeting of the HTI2 Proposed Rule Task Force. I'm Seth Pazinski with the HHS Assistant Secretary for Technology Policy, and I'll be serving as your designated federal officer for today. As a reminder, this meeting is open to the public, and public feedback is welcome throughout the meeting using the Zoom chat feature. Also, there will be scheduled time at the end of our agenda for verbal public comments. I'm going to begin with a roll call. So when I call your name, if you could please indicate that you are present. And I'm going to start with our co-chairs, Bryant Thomas-Karas.
Present.
Rochelle Prosser.
Good morning. Present.
Good morning. Mark Sendak.
Present.
Suresh Ballou. Shyla Blen. I did get a message that Hans Butendijk will not be able to join us today. Sunar Davenport. Derek DeYoung. Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Good morning. Lee Fleischer. Hannah Galvin.
Good morning.
Good morning. Raj Gavarti. Jillian Haney. Joel Hartzell.
Jillian Haney.
Sorry, I'm having trouble coming off mute. Good morning.
Present.
All right, thank you, Jillian. Thank you, Joel. Stephen Hester. Aaron Holt Coyne.
Present.
Jim Jurgis. Mary Beth Carrillo.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hung Liu. Dominic Mack. Meg Marshall. Anna McAllister. Katrina Miller Parrish.
Good morning.
Good morning. Chris Mork. Alex Muggy. Shantuna Nundi. Eliel Oliveira. Kiki Loma Ashukantan.
Good morning and present.
Good morning. Rhonda Perkins.
Good morning.
Good morning. Dan Riskin.
Good morning.
Good morning. Phil Sutherland. Zanette Sumar King.
Good morning.
Good morning. Naresh Sundar Rajan.
Good morning.
Good morning. Cheryl Turney. Ray Walker.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thomas Wilkinson. All right, thank you. Are there any members I missed or any members who just joined that would like to indicate that they're present? All right, then I'm going to turn it over to our co-chairs to get us into our meeting for today.
I'm going to have zero opening remarks so we can spend all of our time getting through things.
Yes, good morning, everyone. We have a lot of work still left over to do. And as you see from yesterday, there's a lot of robust conversation. So I would like us to focus like a hawk today to keep on task and get through the documents. Thank you.
Just thank everyone for the time. No other remarks.
Okay, then can we pivot into the Google Doc now? We will, for the agenda, we're going to be focusing on finishing through the group one recommendations, and then we'll be pausing at 11:55 to have a call for approval of the recommendations to move forward to the full HITAC. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Bryant to get us into the remaining group one recommendations.
Great. So if we could scroll down to There we go. The little bit lower. All right. So actually, let's come back to row 11. Scroll down to where we left off. Which was row, I think we were at row
9, correct?
No,
13. 11J, I believe.
13. We're going to come back to the PDMP one at the end. So this is the next one that we had. So we're now into the 20s. Mary Beth, are you on?
I am. Good morning, Brian.
Okay, so rather than going through every single one, since F21 has a lot of the reciprocal part of F1, I'm hoping we can kind of approve it as a block in the 3 minutes we have remaining for this.
Brian, can we have time? Let's get a timer up just to keep us all honest.
All right.
And I appreciate that some numbering was added. I think that will really help. And I think I can very quickly summarize. I think you're right. A lot of this is a mirror to F1. And then there are areas where we're just asking for clarification. So number Excellent. One, yeah. So number one is really a clarification of how testing will be operationalized. And just, you're going to hear this concern, I think, voiced through all of the F20s. The need to consider limited funding, competing priorities across public health, recommendations of a long on-ramp, and just conversations with the broader community about the implementation stage of this. But I just want to go on record saying that the IS community really supports the continued strong promotion of adoption of standards across public health. So I think that's hopefully that's a pretty easy one that folks can support. I see thumbs up from Brian, thank you. And then the second point is really about who would get certified. In the current IS community, we have about 3/4 of the community that is supported by commercial vendor products, and then about 1/4 of the community that still has homegrown or public health central IT supported systems. And so we just have a question about how would those be certified, or would they be included in a public health certification product process? Number three is really about clarifying the scope of requirements. So since there is language in F21 about EHR data, fire access for EHR data for public health purposes, we have a question about if IIS would also be required to be a client for query for EHR data. And if so, would that include additional requirements like multi-factor authentication, encryption, CDS? So again, that one is just a question for clarification about scope. And unfortunately, in number three, there are actually two recommendations joined. So about 2/3 down, where we say we recommend the bulk fire query for IIS be suggested, that's actually a separate recommendation.
Right. I'll fix that.
Perfect. Thank you. And so that's really, again, supporting the concept of bulk fire query, but we feel like more work needs to happen around an IIS-specific IG for bulk fire before it is ready for a recommendation. So we support ready for a requirement, I should say. So we support it being added as an optional strong suggestion for IIS, but don't support a requirement for it right now.
Great. Thank you for catching that.
Mm-hmm.
Friendly amendment for number two to address IISs that may have different reporting requirements or different business processes, such as Texas, which has an opt-in model rather than an opt-out model. How would that work for passing certification testing? Because we've got a different business process.
Steve, we're at time, and Jillian's got her hand up. But so, can you put your friendly amendment into the chat? Jillian, your hand's up.
Yeah, I want to get back to a comment that Mary Beth said at the beginning, which was having an overall statement. And I would strongly support having sort of an overarching statement that reflects the multiple tools and components and technologies that public health uses to manage and process the data, different data feeds that are coming into their various systems, particularly for like infectious disease surveillance, for example, with ELR, ECR, and other data streams coming in, and the need to have flexibility in terms of certification. And also, I think there really needs to be more overarching, statement about what, you know, what this certification is actually, how it's actually going to work, who is going to be certified, to Mary Beth's point. So of course the need for funding. And I actually put some language in the ELR section that might be able to be used for this.
Great. So let's table that. Noted, Jillian, and maybe we pull that section out of ELR and create a new header section that's in front of all of the 20s. But we're over time on this one. Mary Beth, there's a one set of red text there that. Hans inserted in. I want to make sure you're okay with that and that there's still consensus.
Yeah. And yes, you're exactly right. Hans tucked that piece into recommendation 9. And I think our clarification is really that we need to better define, parse, and filter in each of these specific F20s, because I think it looks different in IIS than it may look in labs. And then Hans just wants to clarify about being cautious to not against over-filtering and the validation expectations. So we're supportive of his red text as well.
Okay, and that ties in nicely with what Jillian just said. Okay, 2 minutes over. Let's turn everything green except for maybe that last sentence in 9, which I think you guys can handle that in the editing.
Perfect.
So the second to last sentence is still okay with you, Mary Beth? We just don't need this comment should apply to all.
Yep, exactly.
We're going to make a comment to all. Okay, next section. I'm restarting my timer. All right. Jillian.
Okay, so I think one of the challenges here is that there is a recommendation that we use FHIR for syndromic surveillance, which doesn't yet exist. And I think there really needs to be input from the NSSP community of practice to support that. So I think the 1 and 2 can be sent to green. And then adding some language about exploring opportunity to reduce payloads, but again, to call out inclusion of the NSSP COP.
Okay, there is some interesting, maybe the edits are below, but I thought we had, yeah, it's probably,
so I think 1 and 2 can be turned green, although I do see Aaron in his hand. I think 1 and 2 can be green. And I think if we take the second, in my last comment in the last line, and we just take that second clause there and turn that green with supportive of like what we may need to wordsmith it, but we can do that offline. The intent is it's stated there.
All right. So let's
Aaron has our whole thing.
Aaron, please.
Yeah. Hey. I think there's a lot of confusion with regards to electronic case reporting and syndromic, and I worry if specifically referencing case reporting and a recommendation regarding syndromic wouldn't add to that confusion. I think it needs to explore the use of FHIR as a recommendation for future forward, but I don't necessarily think it's appropriate to reference ECR here. And I would recommend that we strike that.
Yeah, if can we briefly, if we can scroll back up to row 4 for a second. Hans, Jillian, and I put together a proposed block of text that we didn't discuss last time. Future advancement of this standard. I think that maybe we need to make sure that it's not put into the certification criteria since it doesn't exist yet. It's premature to make it part of it, but that we make a recommendation that there be investment in exploration of this for future potential use.
I would support that.
Brian, there was language in HTI 1 that ONC or ASTP included, specifically looking at public health and potentially going too far for other pieces. I would suggest lifting that language for here, kind of tailored to syndromic.
Okay. So,
and I can get the page number from the HTI 1.
In addition to what's in blue here?
It may support it. So it's language that ASTP is already used.
So let's approve turning this blue text to green as a number 3. We didn't number this section. That was yesterday. But Steve, if you can, or Ike, if you can put in the chat the reference that you want added there as well as a number 4. Okay.
Brian, can I make a friendly amendment to number
3? Yes, please.
Where it says the very last line in observational data that a syndromic HL7V280T, why not just reference the actual implementation guide? Because I think by listing out the message types in a generic view, it opens us up to too much ambiguity. Let's just list the IG itself.
Thank you, but I agree, but there, yes, and there are several sections elsewhere where syndromic is inadvertently referred to as an ADT message, and it's not an ADT message. It's a hybridization of that standard and ORU standard. So you're absolutely right, it's a separate IG. We'll add that as a friendly amendment in parens behind the V2 ADT ORU. All right, at time. Phew. Okay, let's go scroll back down to the other green or the other syndromic section.
So 1 and 2 can be turned green. And we're going to grab some language in that last point there. The last line, last.
The GH, we can turn to a number 3.
Yeah, just the last. You don't need the
skip over Holmes and Bryant, and GH should be number 3.
Bryant, Seth has his hand up.
Ah, Seth, go ahead.
Sorry, didn't want to disrupt the flow of the conversation, but wanted to just make a clarifying process point. As we do, we don't have the opportunity to substantively edit after the call today.
Yeah, no, we're asking Ike to do it real time right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that point. There was a comment about editing later on, but when we go to call for approval, whatever the language is, that's in the document at this point is what we'll be calling for approval on.
Absolutely. There was a parens at the end of the section that inadvertently got turned green and it shouldn't have. So we'll try to be more careful. All right. Let's go on to F23. All right. So I made the comment that this needed more discussion. And then Jillian, thank you very much. You added in exactly what we needed. Thank you. So let's focus on the 1 through 7 first. And then we'll come back and see if anything in the prior conversation should be included. Jillian?
So
and
I would
Aaron, just, if go ahead, Jillian.
I would just say that apropos my previous comments, numbers 2 and 3, I would recommend using those as a part of an overarching statement to be addressed at the beginning of the F20 criteria.
Seth, if I can ask a process question, do we have to have comments specific to each criteria, or can we make an overarching comment?
You can make
repeat it each time it's relevant.
Yeah, you could. I mean, you can make an overarching comment. Just I guess be clear on what it's covering, if it's covering multiple provisions.
Okay. Let's leave it in here now. I think for the purpose sake of clarity, we should try to repeat that in each section, perhaps, since we don't have a draft overarching comment yet, and we need it to be done in by the time we're done with this call. Are you comfortable with that, Jillian?
Completely.
So it's turn 1 through 7 green, unless there are any objections. Please speak now or forever hold your peace. Hans isn't here today, but I think, Jillian, Hans's comment is kind of supportive of yours in that it deals with that nuance that multiple different systems are impacted, and should we leave that red? You think it's covered by what you've?
I'm fine if we want to leave the first 2 sentences and get rid of that this comment would apply to all criteria. It's so I think the first block of red beginning with this task force is supportive of, that could be turned green. And then I think we could take Hans's first sentence and turn that green as well.
Okay. All right, is everybody, timer's up? Or I guess I was a few minutes ahead. Is everybody comfortable with this? The green sections moving forward into the transmittal.
Note from Mary Beth, terms like filter need to be defined for each use case. I think that's true.
Kind of covered in number 2, right?
Yeah. Are you proposing calling that out, Mary Beth, or just have it? Do you think it's okay in number 2?
Well, I just think if it, I think it's probably okay in number 2. I think it just depends on if these do get pulled out as general comments, just making sure that those comments apply to each individual use case. So, but yeah. I think 2 covers it.
Yeah. And I think that it's one of the challenges of making it an overarching is that filter means a different thing in syndromic than filter means in immunization. So exactly. It's hard to make it an overarching.
Okay, let's scrap that friendly recommendation. I'll table that.
All right. All right, I think we're good. 13 seconds, let's move on. Reset the timer, please. All right, this one is cancer, which has not been getting as much funding through CDC channels as some of our other more well-funded programs in infectious disease, et cetera. I think that one of the most important things is that NACER, the National Association of Cancer Registrars, be pulled into the conversation. Steve, do you, or Ike, do you have any additional comments here?
All right, I lost my unmute button. I think we're okay.
We in the earlier section, we talk a lot about differentiating between the Fire IG for pathology reporting versus the cancer case reporting into the registry. I don't think we need to differentiate that here.
I mean, I think we've addressed where we're dealing with the differences. Do want to make sure we're looking at right standards, right?
Yeah. Should we pull, why don't we pull number, was it number two from above and put it as a number two here as well?
Probably.
All right. I move we approve and move on. Any objections? All right, let's move on to e-case reporting. Joel, are you on today?
I am. And so some of these, I guess the first one, I think we were all in agreement on, but others can push back. This was just an expansion of kind of receive, validate, parse, and filter, but moving to the content of the EICR into the destination system. And again, kind of mimicking what we proposed in F5, including the fire and CDA IG, or persisting the fire and CDA IG. Okay. Any issue with turning that green?
None. Turn number one green, unless there's any objections. I think that that also kind of mimics the number two that was above. Yeah. That we need.
Yeah, that's
that we need clear definition of what those mean. So that's good. Yeah. All right. And I did a friendly amendment to add DOD, Homeland, and VA into your number two.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. I thought I already had done that. So yeah, so that should
mimic. You did it up above, but not here.
So. Apologies. So I don't think there would be any changes to this.
Great.
I think we're good to turn that green. And so this next one is really kind of stressing the point of persisting the ECR or the fire and CDA IG and calling out the challenges of limited resources to prepare for fire and maintain and progress existing infrastructure, particularly with a 2-year turnaround time and right. EHRs. Yeah. Go ahead.
I like it. Let's any objections?
It is.
Let's do that.
And then the last one in here is calling out right now the way it's framed is that public health agencies would generate the RR. This is calling out that it's currently generated by APHL, not the public health agencies. And so further distinction in the language around what is being called out for public health agencies opposed to public health intermediaries.
Yeah. So I think that this is that it's a challenge throughout the notice of proposed rule that the, you know, bi-directional. In this case, it's not bi-directional, there's an intermediary actor. So I like that. Let's turn that green unless there are any objections. We could probably, friendly amendment, do we need to include QHENS as an intermediary stepping stone as well.
I'm not sure, this is Steve, I'm not sure we need to list a definitive set of intermediaries. I think you can just say intermediaries writ large. Whether you're looking at a QHEN or an HIE or AIMS or APHN/AIMS, there are lots of entities that could potentially serve as intermediaries.
I do think that APHL in particular deserves a call out in that it is a acting on behalf of states, since it is an association of state laboratories.
Or at least as an agent.
Yeah.
I would call it as an agent rather than on behalf of. But.
Okay.
And the only reason I called out AIMS in particular on this one is because they call out the PHAs or the stilts generating the RR.
Yeah, so it's just in contrast to that.
Yeah.
Can I also just, sorry, this is Jillian. APHL's act, I don't know that they are an agent of public health authorities. I think they are acting on behalf of, and I don't know if there's a legal distinction there, but it may be appropriate to actually keep the language on behalf of.
So why don't we, so friendly amendment here, instead of the word not the, say on behalf of the. Perfect. And if everybody's okay with that, I think that gets us through the legalese.
Well, look, let's see. My one question is, what if it changes since it's not a, what I'm hearing is it's not a defined in any kind of reg or statute or guidance, correct?
It is, effectively a de facto hub. It is the authority operated by APHL with CSTE's control
today.
It's the single and only place in the country where reportability requirements for every single condition in every single state and territory are uploaded.
There's a way to say that without using the name. That's my only.
Why? CSTE is you know, in statute. Why not have this hub as?
Because I just thought how UNIS was just thrown out, it, you know, is no longer the entity or the OPTN. Things can change, but okay, I can live with it.
Well, we'll see. This can be our recommendation, and ONC can normalize it if they need to, but I think we need to call it out as what we need. Yeah.
And I think in particular, this comment is just explaining why as well, why public health agencies. And do we want to change that to stilts, not public health agencies?
Or public health authorities.
Yeah.
Not agencies. Yeah. Authorities. Yeah. Parens, ST in STLT.
Or CDC.
CDC doesn't.
Yeah.
Does CDC have any specific reportabilities in?
No, not in this case.
Yeah, so it's only stilts. There's no federal authority for reportable conditions. All right. Next sec. Thank you very much. We went over on that one, so we're going to have to make up some time. I'll take the lead on presenting this one. And I apologize. I really, truly want this to be moved forward, but I think we have to not make birth reporting part of certification yet. We're really not ready. There's no state that is even in alpha testing of this standard. So it seems premature to start working on a certification process when it hasn't yet even been proved to work in one jurisdiction. So I think propose we approve number one, which is that the task force recommends it not be part of the criterion. Everybody in agreement? Silence is yes. Okay, turn number one green. Thank you. We could approve 2, 3, and 4 as, you know, additional work that needs to be done so that this can eventually make it into future proposed rules. And one thing in number 4 in particular, I want to call out that, and we can spell out these acronyms for people's benefit, but birth and fetal death reporting and vital records death reporting should really go hand in hand. And I think a lot of us were surprised that death reporting wasn't the one that was included in the certification proposal, because it has gone through testing in at least 8 jurisdictions, have live vital records electronic exchanges operational. So I think VRDR is much more mature than BFDR, but they're both going into the same vital records systems in states, so it seems like they should eventually mature at the same time for certification. People okay with that? Turning 2, 3, and 4 green. Any objections? Aaron?
No objections. I just think the actors impact
that. Yeah, we should probably also include the same number 2 from above, that parsing needs to be defined here, but the from several above, I guess. Make that a. And I also called out NAFSIS as a key contributor in terms of determining the readiness when we're ready to move these forward. All right, let's go on to the next. F29. Yeah. Actually, let's skip past this one. We'll go back to do F9 and then come back to this. Sorry. Okay, F9. So Naresh and myself and some others have been working on trying to come up with something. Prescription drug monitoring program is very complicated and has multiple different actors. Naresh, did you get a chance to read through my proposed blue text?
Yes, I did, Ryan. And I also commented on there on the proposed language. I did get a chance to talk to NCPDP folks as well, PMICS yesterday too, based on our discussions. So I think whatever you captured there, the 3 different ways bidirectional, queryable, and registry level reporting. Those three have to be appropriately assigned within their standards. And some or the other way, Fire API should actually be the point of entry for these exchanges. So they are definitely looking for a lever to actually facilitate Firebase exchanges too. So it makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So I think with that, so are people comfortable with the language in number one, hinting at the need for synergy without constraining that, because we don't yet know what the final resolve will be. We need to kind of like describe this functional criterion while we work on resolving these competing standards. Any objections? Let's turn number one green. And I put the URL to the ISA for people who are interested in looking at what those competing standards are. Aaron, I think I tried to pull your reference into the blue text. So I think yours can sit. Don't turn those green. Leave all the rest of the everything else should stay black, right? Oh, perfect. You move it over to the side. Thank you. All right. Now let's scroll back down to F29. As long as you got all those comments moved over to the side for historical value. So here again, I kind of just pointed out that it's going to be really hard for us to certify these systems when there's so many different processes. So it's going to end up having to be a functional approach. So number two, further harmonization is going to, and there's some typos in there, spelling errors, which I hopefully can get corrected when this gets into a Word document. But pointing out some of the complexity in that several jurisdictions, this operates in a law enforcement arena, several it's in a board of pharmacy, and several it's in departments of health. So it's going to be hard for public health certification to really have a across the board impact. Aaron.
Agree with that. Do you think it would be worth mentioning, and I think this was mentioned up above, the problem with some public health jurisdictions not allowing the communication of discrete data or the storing of discrete data at the EHR? And that too might play a role in
its implementation. Yeah, absolutely. The certification of that bidirectional query and response is going to have legal constraints in that in some jurisdictions you can query and look at it on the screen, but it's not allowed to be stored in the EHR, which is super problematic compared to other states request that you incorporate it so that you've got documentation that you looked at it. We could also bring that number two or number five now forward. That kind of, and maybe Aaron, make that part of different laws and regulations that apply may impact the storage of those discrete elements If you could propose some language in the chat, we'll insert it in.
You want me to write it to add it to two or make it its own?
Either add it to two or three or make it its own.
All of them.
I think it says 2 minutes, but I think we're over on this one. Since we also covered F9. How are we doing on time, Seth?
Y'all have the full 150.
Okay.
This is for this one.
I was worried we're at 11:45. When did we need to?
We've got to 11:55.
Right. Okay. All right.
I think
we
you
need
have
20
left.
Okay. What's Aaron?
Can this get to that green? Sorry.
Yes. Make those green, and then Aaron has a friendly amendment to insert into two, I believe. Watch for it in the chat. Oh, and I didn't have my chat window open. All right. Let's move. How many more do we have? We could scroll down to see. We've got G20 below. Is that the last one? Please be the last one. Whew. Okay. Aaron, are you
working on it?
Okay, let's move on and we'll come back to insert in the friendly amendment. Who wants to take the lead on this one? Steve, this looks like you're writing. Are you on mute, Steve?
I'm unmuted now. So
I'm going to make, let's see if that works. I'm going to make the last thing a number three. There we go. Talk about the complexity here, Steve.
Sure. The complexity with looking at APIs for public health, unlike for regular EHRs, is that public health's infrastructure is not a single system, so that supporting an API query on the front end could actually be looking at data from a wide range of back-end systems that may or may not have the relevant data. That adds a great level of complexity and an awful lot of potential customization of a query coming in, and puts public health in a position where there may be some issues in terms of inadvertent information blocking, because public health does not have the capacity to respond to this potentially wide stream of queries coming in through an API without additional constraints. If we constrain queries through the public health API to those that are associated with implementation guides that have been adopted by that particular public health authority, that helps resolve some of the issues by creating some parameters around which the particular public health agency has experience and capacity to respond. So it's a disconnect between the infrastructure on the healthcare provider side with a single EHR and so public health.
We've got 4 minutes. Do you think that complexity is adequately represented here?
It's hinted at that there probably could be some textual refinement, but again, I think the big piece, and we can just take care of it administratively, is there consensus about recognizing this as an issue, and can we recommend constraining queries through the public health API to existing IGs adopted by the public health authority?
Yeah.
Is the big question.
All right, so that's for number one. Let's go ahead and turn that green. Number two.
Molly has her hand up.
Oh, Molly.
Hi, all. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure to clarify some components of the rules before we continue through the recommendations. I do just want to emphasize that G20 was written in the rule for provider-facing systems and as an outgrowth from G10. So this would, as written in the proposed rule, be applicable to provider-facing systems.
Okay. So it wouldn't impact immunization information systems or public health registries?
Not as currently written in the proposed rule.
Okay.
Okay, that may be something you want to clarify because it talks about it being applicable to certified technologies, which includes public health if HCI2 is adopted as written.
It does say that new certification criteria would support ongoing future development of public health fire IGs. Oh no, that's a comp. That's an E, not in the rule. Never mind.
Can we add language as we recommend clarification or guidance from ASTP and ONC on the applicableness to public health. But we adopt the context of the rule.
Yeah. And we don't, public health doesn't, I think, Mark, if you can, you've got a lot of comments that refer to G10 and G20 from your group. So these would need to be harmonized with those, and you probably have that in your section already. Is that true?
We can look those over. Yes, we did have several related to G20.
Mary Beth, I pulled some of your components in 2 and 3 to clarify that the immunization was not subject to these bulk G20 certification processes. Mark, do you think any of these could be harmonized in with your all's comments? Or do we just trust that ASTP did not intend for these to be applicable to public health registries and table these?
I know that we didn't explicitly say anything about public health registries. So if there's something you want to include about that, then we should.
Yeah, Brian, I guess the remaining question is, does it apply to EHR-like systems that are operated by public health?
That probably, if it public health is operating in clinic, it probably does.
Right. So again, that potentially becomes a clarity issue.
So let's move forward number one. But I think we can leave 2 and 3, which are focusing on IIS. They can stay, those are word for word what was up above. We can leave them there and not try to insert them into G20. Is that okay with you, Mary Beth?
Yep, that works, Brian. Thank you.
Okay. I think we are at time.
And Brian, Erin added her text in the chat.
Let's approve that.
Look at the second one. I caught another typo. Just corrected it.
So between the quotes.
Yep.
Is that the entirety of number two? Perfect. So it's a full replacement.
Oops. Brian, there are a few typos that have been noted by different folks in the chat. Can we say holistically that the typos will be cleaned up as part of document prep just to make sure that stakeholders are
thanks. Yeah, this is Seth. We can address any of the proofreading that's in the final. Thanks.
Okay, so cutting and pasting is failing us.
Yeah, well, let me copy for some reason, but I will work on.
I'll Zoom.
I have it in Word. I can probably move it over if you want.
Yeah, if you want to put it into, if you've got the spreadsheet open, Aaron, why don't you drop it in?
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to stay out of that cell. All right. Once that's in, just scroll back up through all of the beautiful green text. Is there anything that we missed? Keep going. Keep going. All right. And all the way to the top. Okay. All right. Seth, thank you very much for your tolerance.
Yeah, thanks everyone. I think I just want to make sure there was some discussion around comments either being made individually in rows or some overarching comments. Is there anything that needs to be revisited there? Do you feel like we've got that accurately captured in the document at this point?
If we had time to, what's that number three there? Scroll up, there was a, maybe it was down. The screen is bouncing around quite a bit for me. I don't feel like we have appropriate time to do craft an additional overarching comments. We tried to pull our attention to definitions of parse, validate need to be clarified differentially for different registry systems. I think we could make some overarching comments about how complex the public health ecosystem is, and that like for something as simple conceptually as notifiable conditions, a state agency might have three different case management systems, one for HIV, one for other sexually transmitted diseases or infections, and one for communicable diseases outside of the others. And those three different systems would all have to meet these same certification criteria. So it's a complicated environment.
Friendly amendment there, and recognizing different state requirements that may or may not be aligned with the existing fairly narrow standards in some cases. An example is Texas's immunization registry and our consent processes. We have to have consent on file before we can retain any vaccination information. And that needs to be accommodated as part of our interoperability functions where we can't collect any data.
Yeah.
So a technology that was certified might not meet state requirements, then we can't use the certified technology or collect data.
Yeah.
So
quick interruption, scrolling back up to the line that you were just on, what I tried to do here, and if you can move the small text into column K, I tried to differentiate the green. I couldn't handle all of the versioning visually, so I just shrank the text that was in between each of the what would now be a numbered approved green section. If you can clean that up, that'll make it easier for you to move it over to the transmittal. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you, Ike. Jillian, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I totally support those overarching statements, but I think there was still some red language in the syndromic piece that we wanted to include.
To come back to, okay, let's try to go back to that then. What row was that?
Oh, there.
Oh, maybe it already did turned. Is this what line is this? Is this at the beginning? I wonder if we had it actually in we wanted to, I just want to clarify, do we want to put it in,
it may
in
be in
this
20.
Line, but or is it in the second one?
So I'm going to suggest just because of where we at our time, if we can move towards looking at group three and group two approvals, and if depending on how much time left, we can determine if there's additional time for discussion and edits on group one.
Yeah, so I found it F22, the last paragraph there, starting with Jillian Haney, colon, the challenge, should be moved to number three. Or
I don't know if we need my little preamble. It could just be the sentence that, you know, we support exploration of opportunities to reduce payloads. But I just want to reflect Han's comment. But say that, you know, they're very different use cases, and we need to, but we would support exploration.
All right.
It's really just that second.
You can delete the Bryant.
Yeah, delete the first three lines and keep the second. We would support exploration of opportunities to reduce payloads and other technical considerations, but this must include the NSSE.
Yeah, we're not, you've got a different carriage return than what we're seeing on the screen, Jillian.
Oh, okay.
Last sentence for Jillian's line is what she's wanting to keep. And everything else in red could be deleted.
Up to wood. Is that correct, Jillian? So you just want the wood kept?
Yes.
All right. And then I believe we can delete my comment and merge the. And I'm not, well, I'm not so, I'm still not quite sure that there's consensus that it should be like ECR. I think it may be its own thing rather than an ECR-like thing.
I think referencing ECR lends to confusion and could potentially limit us when we explore FHIR for the syndromic use case. And so I think it makes sense to, we want to speak to a future forward kind of recommendation about looking at FHIR to support syndromic with the involvement of the NSSP makes sense, and looking at reducing payload, but I would caution about referencing ECR specifically.
I would agree with that. I don't think it's really necessary because we don't reference ECR for cancer or other kinds of things so much as well. And this is really a organization reporting. It's really another parallel activity, but I think we can certainly say, you know, suggest looking at FHIR for future work around syndromic surveillance, but not refer to ECR.
So
I put my comment in the chat for the language for consideration to turn green, which was.
All right. And eliminate all of the. That's a complete replacement for number three.
You're yes.
Proposing? Okay.
So we don't need the challenge.
I support that. And
so number three would just, so in summary, number three would just say we would support exploration for opportunities to reduce payloads and other technical consideration, but this must include discussion with the NSSP.
Sounds good. All right. Done. Any objections? Turn that last number three green now.
Sorry, I had to manually put it. Sorry, I had to manually put it in real quick.
Okay. Oh, that's right. You can't cut and paste out of Zoom. So sorry.
All right, look good.
I think so. Happy that we got through it all.
All right. We've got about 12 minutes here to. So I want to turn to each co-chair to put forward the recommendations to the full task force here to approve them moving forward. Why don't we start, Mark? If you want to go first, we'll start with group two and then group three, and then we'll circle back to group one.
So one quick question, Seth. There was, who's Aaliyah, if you can, pull up row three. There was one change that was proposed, I think by Katrina, or sorry, go back to the other sheet, group two. Okay, so I just want to incorporate this change. Is Katrina still on? Yes. Yes. Katrina, can you, I just wasn't sure, did you mean V4 or V5, or what is level zero?
Yeah, level zero is a feeder into 4, 5 and upcoming 6. And you have to get up to level two for it to be considered for the next USCDI version. So version 6, at least as far as I understand it. I wanted to sort of widen out the review for what should be considered for the future, because there is a lot in level zero that I think should be pushed up. And if we could like somehow get that into this recommendation, that'd be great. If not, that's fine too.
So, and the specific things you want to make sure are reviewed are the laboratory results.
Yep.
Your second sentence. Okay. Would you be okay if I just incorporate those items in the big parentheses that we have in the recommendations? Okay, so I am going to do that right now.
Thank you.
Okay, so does that look good? Let me just make sure the formatting is there.
That's fine. I mean, it would be great to somehow get that level zero in there, but we'll just leave it at what it is. And that's fine. We'll just leave it there.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm assuming, Seth, I don't need to review individual criteria. I'm just asking, does the task force approve all work group recommendations in green in column J?
Correct.
Okay, so can we move forward with all green recommendations in column J? If there's no concerns, we will move those forward. Back to you, Seth. Anything else you need?
All right, thank you, Mark. So then let's move to Rochelle and the group three recommendations.
Hi, Seth. All right, if we can go to line row number 6, please. We removed the language from the ONC, from the HITAC committee that was written here yesterday, because it actually was more applicable to to row 9. So if we can go down to row 9, please. And in row 9, we actually discuss the QHINs and the aspects of if a QHIN, it would disappear, the financial instability. We also discuss certain aspects of the QHIN supporting all exchange processes for HIT, including the one they prefer. So the language in the black, where the work group recommends ONC provide guidance on the potential of the QHIN lack of adoption of FHIR standardization that occurs for QHINs that do not fully implement FHIR complete interoperability. That's the line we would agree to, because the line just below it talks to the FHIR adoption and IG oversight. So the amendment here is to put the language from row six from the high tech committee here, where we more, which is more applicable to the TEFCA common agreement and how QHINs would interact there. So if there are no disagreements, I would like to turn that black to green on row nine in column J. Yes, please go ahead and turn it green. Thank you. All right. Seth, back to you.
And then, Rochelle, if you could just put forward just to
call the group, of course, the
full set of the recommendations. Thanks.
Sure. Oh, Katrina, you have a question?
I'm so sorry, but just what you turned, do you want that last sentence, need to agree on this line?
Oh, yeah. No, we need to remove the need to agree. Thank you. Sure, no problem. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. Thank you. Great catch, Katrina. All right. So for the purpose of group three, I would like to propose that the entire HTI2 group adopt all of the recommendations, comments, and proposed for ASDP and ONC in column J. By a show of hands? Everyone else? Okay, we have a lot of hands not up. Okay.
Rochelle, are only group three work group members?
No, all of us.
No, the everybody. Whole,
okay. The entire group.
The whole task force.
Yes, the whole task force. Okay, Seth, can you count for me, please?
Naresh.
Naresh usually doesn't raise his hand on anything on group three, but Naresh.
Dial. Let's get to consensus.
Okay.
Yeah, Rochelle, seeing definitely have a majority consensus here. Yeah. Just
majority consensus. That's fine.
If there's any concerns. And then we can move forward.
Okay. All right. If everyone can lower their hands, we have a majority consensus. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Rochelle. And now we'll move back to Bryant for group one.
All right. Well, it's now that we've got our hand raising skills refined, let's see approval of movement of all of the green text, not red or black or blue, forward to as part of the transmittal. Mary Beth, there you go. Others? All right, Dio.
Brian, don't forget to put your hand up.
Oh, I had it up. Did it go down? All right, Ike is up. Who are we missing? Okay, I think we're at, are we at a tipping point?
Yeah, it looks like we've got a majority consensus here, so I think we can move forward.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so appreciate everyone's work on this. I think we're just about at time for public comment. Is there any additional points, Brian, Rochelle, or Mark, that you guys have before we move into public comment?
Not at this time.
Nope, all good.
No, I just want to state my appreciation for the staff and team at ASTP-ONC for the amazing support and work on this complex task. Thank you guys so much. And look forward to seeing that the challenge, the successful challenge you have ahead of you of coordinating across all of these federal and state and territorial agencies to make this a reality.
All right, thank you, Brian. Steve, I see it. You still have your hand raised. Do you have a comment?
Leftover, sorry.
Okay. All right, then I'm going to ask that we move to public comment at this point. So if you are on the Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the raised hand function, which is located in your Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're participating by phone only today, you can press *9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, you can press *6 to mute and unmute your line. And while we give folks a few seconds to raise their hands, on behalf of ASTP, I did want to thank and express gratitude for all the folks who have volunteered your time and expertise through this task force. Greatly appreciate your review and thoughtful deliberations, and look forward to the task force co-chairs delivering the results of the task force efforts at the upcoming HITECH meeting on September 12th. And I also want to remind everyone that the HITECH meeting materials can all be found on healthit.gov. So I'm going to check in to see if we have any hands raised from the public at this point. Not seeing any, and no comments on the line. So I'm going to turn it back to our co-chairs for next steps and to adjourn us. So Brian, Rochelle, and Mark, back to you.
Well, I want to thank everyone for their very diligent and hard work that we have gotten done today on the HTI2 rule, and over the past eight weeks, I believe, that we have been working together separately in our individual silos. And then today, for the past 3 days for this call, it was a lot of work, a lot of commentary, and a lot of feedback, and most importantly, a lot of teamwork to be heard. So I appreciate all of your work, all of your time and dedication, and thank you, and look forward to making the full presentation to the HITECH committee on September the 9th, or 12th, sorry.
Just thank you, everybody, and thank you, ASTP staff. Couldn't have done this without you.
And I just echo that thanks again, and also want to acknowledge the behind the scenes contributions and support that we got from other agencies, the CDC, and all of the subject matter experts that participated and testified to our task force, as well as members of the various associations and communities of practice that all had a hand in helping us to make this the best transmittal it could be. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you all. Our meeting is adjourned.